Hello, everyone. It is good to meet with you all here again today during these trying times, coming together to speak about the shared hope that we have, which is a delightful and necessary break from the world around us. This world around us seems to be falling apart by the seams, and evil only grows continually in the hearts of mankind, to hurt one another in some quest for personal views of justice or politics. While the world today may have seemed to have peaked in terms of its godlessness, I think that if we truly think about it, there have always been just a few that cling on to the hope, and a large number who have paid lip service to an idea they thought they could use to strengthen themselves. Indeed, this idea seems to stem from human actions being done for the benefit of the person doing them. Even charitable actions are done to make one either feel good about themselves or to seem like a good person to others. Mm-hmm. It's hard to separate them from those who do good in secret solely because it is the right thing to do. There's limited to no self-reflection in the world about what we do or why we do it. And this has been the case for all of recorded history. And this is because it is part of our very beings. When we look at the Bible, there are many passages about the heart of mankind, and none are too flattering. Take, for example, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? The human heart itself is not a fun thing to endure. And in our walk in the truth, we understand this and try to do what is right above succumbing to our own desires. And so for my exhortation today, I wanted to think more about the sixth beatitude, which is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I will cover what it means to be pure in heart, how this purity of heart allows us to see God, and finally, taking this back to the emblems and remembering the only begotten Son, who thus far is the only person to have seen God, and we should be following after his example. So what does it mean to have a pure heart, or to be pure in heart? So the phrase in Greek comes from katharoi te kardia, and katharoi really means to be clean in the sense that there are no undesirable elements within the object described. And in a spiritual sense, this means that these undesirable elements have been purged by God, leaving behind only that which is clean. And cardia means heart, but can be more properly understood to mean the soul or the mind from which all thoughts, desires, passions, and actions arise from. Putting this all together, to be pure in heart is really to say that our thoughts, desires, and actions that come out of our minds are without undesirable elements, and these have been purged from our lives by God. And so our motivations for what we do and think must be coming from a place where we remember the two greatest commandments. Love your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Indeed, the seat from which all of our thoughts flow from must be purified. And this comes up in the Epistle of James multiple times. The verse I will specifically be pointing at here is from chapter 4 in verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This harkens back to the idea that we cannot serve two masters. And if we wish to follow after Christ, we must constantly be at watch to avoid allowing worldly lusts and desires from corrupting our hearts and all of the thoughts and actions that flow from it. And so this sin that would corrupt our hearts is spoken of as a lion that stalks its prey, waiting for a window to devour it. And if you're not always on watch, that's when it strikes. We know that the nature of the flesh will corrupt the hearts of those who are not prepared with undesirable elements. And what exactly are these undesirable elements? Well, the Apostle Paul lists some of these undesirable elements in the letter to the Galatians in chapter 5, starting at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Simply put, these are all sinful acts, and all these sinful acts flow from a place where sin has allowed to take hold in the mind in the first place for these actions to follow. And we know from being human beings that the works of the flesh come from a strong internal driver to do that which is evil. And this is something that we must be on guard from. Paul speaks of this to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here, Paul is describing how to be an honorable vessel and how to have a pure heart. And this is starting in verse 20. Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself of what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel of honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Likewise, for us to have a pure heart, we must avoid certain aspects of life that can creep in and pollute an otherwise pure heart. If we have undesirable aspects that control our minds and the thoughts that flow out of them, this is of no use to God. So we must flee from these impure actions and focus on righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And these are the aspects that spring forth from one with a pure heart. Again, this is an active process, and it really comes about by being vigilant, coming to self-reflection, that we may consider what we've done and how we can improve. And asking God for strength to do this is always an honorable request. We must be on guard as well when we interact with other people, because these aspects can pollute our hearts from the people that we associate with. And of course, this comes about because humans are social creatures, and we really like the company of people that we interact with. And you'll start picking up mannerisms and certain actions that other people do. It's just a natural thing about being social. But these actions can bring us into doing impure acts. In our first reading today of Jeremiah 9, we hear a warning about keeping watch on those who do evil. And this is in verses 4 and 5. Let everyone beware of his neighbor and put no trust in any brother, for every brother is a deceiver and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everybody deceives his neighbor and no one speaks the truth. And they have taught their tongue to speak lies and they weary themselves committing iniquity. So these can be people, you know, that are kind of close to us in certain aspects of our lives. And we might excuse some of the actions that we do. And if we just associate ourselves a little bit too much with them, we could always let that creep into our own lives as well. And it's something that we must be on guard from. And those are the ones that can lead us astray. It's good when we come together though, because likewise, we can also where others can promote us to do things that are wrong, we can promote each other to do things that are right, to stay on the path. And this is talked about in Hebrews 10, when we consider why it is necessary for us to gather with those of like precious faith. This is starting in verse 23 of Hebrews 10, where we read, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised it is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to do love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Being members together in the body of Christ through baptism, we are called to follow after him. To stay on the path to the kingdom is necessary to have a pure heart, or we will wander away and not be found worthy. To do so, we must keep godly things at the forefront of our minds and refrain from allowing internal and external forces, from placing elements within our hearts to make them impure. And I will now go into how having this pure heart allows us to, in fact, see God. As referenced before, those with the impure heart will not inherit the kingdom. And perhaps we could just stop there and say, well, if they don't get into the kingdom, they won't see God. But there's another important underlying aspect here that I wanted to touch upon. Seeing God and the knowledge of God are aspects that are tied into most of the verses that I've been speaking of, or at least companion verses, which speak about a pure heart. So let's go back to Jeremiah 9. Here, there are a couple times where those who do evil are described as just not knowing God. In verse 3, they bend their tongue like a bow. Falsehood and not truth have grown strong in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. And in verse 6, heaping oppression upon oppression and deceit upon deceit, they refuse to know me, declares the Lord. These people who don't know God, they are the ones that go up and worship Baal. They follow after their own wisdom and strength. They don't know God because they either have ignored what he said to them or forgotten him completely within their hearts. And so he is unknown to them and he cannot be seen or heard. This is directly contrasted in verses 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. These actions that proceed forth from someone who has a pure heart are the very actions that God delights in and practices himself. If we are impure, then we do not do the actions that God delights in, and we do not understand why God practices these things. We cannot be merely circumcised in the flesh in this sense, but we must be circumcised in the heart, because from the heart flows all actions and thoughts. Later on in Jeremiah, in chapter 29, we read the letter to the exiles in Babylon. Here we read that the children of Israel will be released from captivity and saved by God, starting in verse 10. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. We know that those that have a pure heart have the two greatest commandments in the forefront of their mind, to love God with every ounce of their being, and seeking after him. And beloved, this is how he is found. The best verses though to consider here to understand why a pure heart is necessary to see God comes from the second reading today in 1 John 3, starting at verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Having a pure heart, we can know God because he is pure. And the things he delights in are the same things that we do if we have a pure heart. We seek after steadfast love, justice, righteousness, and peace, as does God. When we pray to God and we come to him with pure intent and good consciousness, he will hear us. And when we seek after him like this, he will be found by us. When the kingdom comes and God is reunited with creation, we shall be like him because we see him as he is. In today's time, we may falter from time to time, but when we do, we can always approach him in prayer, and he will be found and listen to us if our intentions are good. Let us remember the plea of David made in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. We will be purified completely with our heart of stone replaced with a heart more able to serve God. And then moving on to the emblems today, we come before these emblems and await the day that is spoken of, where the kingdom will be established on this earth. Going back to what I was reading before in Hebrews 10, but reading just a little bit earlier, starting in verse 19, we read, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us remember the example of Christ, the only person who has seen the living God. He submitted, allowing his flesh to be done away with, because he understood just how evil our fleshly natures are. Likewise, when we are baptized, we put to death our flesh, that we may be purified by pure water. When we did so, we vowed to have the same clear and good consciousness to serve God, to pick up our cross and follow after Christ. And we remember this continually, to be at attention, so sin does not creep back in our hearts, thus ruining what was made pure." Let us reflect then today on our own hearts and seek to keep ourselves and each other in this race to stay on this straight and narrow path. Let us seek the heart to do actions that are delighted in by God, that we may see him. And when we see him, we know that we will be saved and we will be made well.